copies of the message. If anybody wants one from last week and you weren't here when I passed them out, just raise your hand and we'll get somebody to give that to you, or we can have them on the counter out there. They are out on the counter, and you can help yourself to as many or any as you'd like. If you want to have some nourishment during the week, and you see that those messages are out there, that's what they're there for. They're there for you. And anybody else, if you want to invite somebody into the congregation, take one of those and hand them to them and tell them, hey, listen to this. And then come on in on Sunday, okay? Praise the Lord. You know, at this time of the year, when we remember to give thanks, it's right for us to give thanks and praise to God for those who serve in the church. It's right for us to give thanks for God's will being done in the church. You know, being thankful focuses us on what we have and what we have had. When we look back on our lives, we can thank God for what we've had, instead of focusing our attention on what we want or what we lack. It's a very good thing to give thanks. As I instructed our Sunday school class today, I said, take a tablet and start to write every day a few things that you're thankful for, and see if you can fill that tablet. Now, you don't have to fill the tablet, but I can tell you, whenever I started doing this, I was only able to get two things the first day. Two things. And then the next day I put a few things. And then after that I put a few more. And then before you knew it, I had that tablet filled with things that I was thankful for, that I was grateful for. And it is a wonderful exercise because it takes our attention away from what we lack or what we need or what we want to what we have. It really is a great exercise. So I encourage all of you today to do that. Being thankful also shines light on God's grace, and it promotes a positive attitude among God's people. It fosters hope for the future as it spills over into every aspect of our lives. As we give thanks for what we have, we find ourselves being able to have more of what God promises in our lives. Because we're focusing our attention on what we have instead of what we lack, we see it when it comes. Sometimes we miss the blessings because we don't observe them. And God allows for us to have those blessings. He's blessed us with servant leaders here in the form of deacons and elders, and we need to give thanks to God for those people because they're giving of their time, they're giving of their energy, they're giving of their lives in service to the people of God and to God Himself. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it's written, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And in our Sunday school class today, I asked anybody who had a Bible, maybe a different version of the one that I was reading from, I asked them to tell me how we get out of that. Maybe another version will give us a different perspective. You know, maybe we can see a way to wiggle out of the will of God for our lives, is that we give thanks. And so it's important that we focus our attention on those things that we're able to give thanks for. We could thank God for this wonderful weather. We could have 6 feet of snow out there right now, folks, and all of us would be at home. Well, at least all of you probably would be. I might be standing here preaching to an empty room, and then you could all have a CD next week, right? Anyway, you know, God's counsel is priceless for learning what He wants for His church. And He wants His church to be a thankful church. He wants us to glorify His name. He wants us to be lifting up our praises and our testimonies. And yes, it takes time sometimes. But you know what? If that football game's on, it might take us 2 or 3 hours to watch that, wouldn't it? Let's think about that, folks. Be honest with yourselves. You know, do we squeeze out an hour for God a week, or do we live our lives for Him, thankfully, giving Him praise for what He is that He does in our lives? I think we need to be those who worship our Creator in the way that He designed us to worship Him and serve Him. He created us to flourish as His thankful people throughout His Word. And we read two Psalms today in our Sunday school lesson. It said over and over and over how we are to give thanks. And why? Because His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever, over and over and over. We read that in the Scripture. Our Creator, He wants us to flourish. In Psalm 140 and verse 13, it's written, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto Thy name. The upright shall dwell in Thy presence. Give thanks and dwell, live, exist in the presence of God. That's important. And I have to ask, as we're learning the biblical definition of elders, and we turn our attention to the biblical standard for their conduct, are we being thankful? It's important. And that's what I want you to leave here with today, that you will be thankful that God's Word lays out what He wants for His elders and for His deacons, and that we have men who are willing to stand in those roles. We need to offer thanks to God for those who are willing to serve Him and the congregation. You know, all of us who serve are going to be called before God to answer for what we've done and what we haven't done. And I've stressed that in previous messages, so I'm not going to ride on it too heavy here in this one. We need to be thankful. And it's a very serious task. It's an undertaking that we're not to take lightly. And as we begin today, we're going to look in the first chapter of Titus, beginning at verse 5. So if you will, open your Bibles there. And we're going to read 1 Titus chapter 5, or chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And this text will take us again into the early church, just like some of the others have. And this is when the authority of God was being delegated. The church was growing, there were more and more people, and we had to have servants. The deacons were chosen to serve, the elders were chosen to serve. Similar roles, but different in many ways. The elders were to serve the Word of God and were to serve in prayer. And we can thank God that the Apostle Paul expresses very clear characteristics and requirements for elders. Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, and this is what we hear there. "For this cause left I thee in Crete, thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Pray in God's name that he would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word." Thank God that he provides exact information for us in the choosing of our elders and deacons. He loves his people and he provides those qualifications for elders to serve him and to serve his people in love. These are God's qualifications. They're not laid out by some man or some organization or some body politic. These are God's qualifications. Thank him that he laid those out so clearly that we can choose leaders in the church who are right by him. The Greek word episkopos is used for bishop, which is an overseer. Elders and pastors are spiritual overseers. And this is a word that we know is also referring to the elders. We're to be spiritual overseers of God's flock. We're to serve with reverence and fear of Almighty God. We don't take it lightly. Thank God that in his letters to Timothy and Titus, Paul outlines God's quality standards for those who will serve. There's no way around it. Just like we can't get around God's will is that we be thankful people. We can't get around that God lays out the way he wants his elders to serve. And that their character is to be such that they're beyond reproach and they won't bring reproach to the body. Unlike this day and age when moral relativism has overcome much of the world and the body of Christ has joined in on that, those who wrote these scriptures knew God's absolutes. They knew what God wanted for his people. Thank God that his men taught clearly defined characteristics of those who would serve, those who would be chosen. Inside of God's definition, they'd serve God and the people, but outside they were excluded. One of the toughest strongholds that the enemy of souls has over the church today, I believe, is the idea that we're not going by the standards of God's Word. So many are being elevated to pastors and to overseers in the church who don't fit the characteristics that God lays out in His Word. Think of those who are deeply steeped in sin. That what God calls sin, being elevated to positions of authority where they don't belong. But did this happen with one sin? Did this happen with two? Was this one moral failure? Was it two moral failures that led us into this place of decay within the body of Christ? And I'm not just talking about here at St. John's. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ. Is it something that we have done one time or two? No, it's centuries of walking away from what God has laid out in His Word for the church. God has chosen for His church to be a particular way, out of the world, not in the world and of it. We're to be out of the world as we're living in it, not to be of it. This time's a cumulative sum of centuries of moving away from God's will. Our time's a time of disregarding what our Creator tells us about sin and death and hell also. We don't like to talk about that. It doesn't feel good. But you know what? God's Word's clear about those things too, just as He's clear about those who will serve. If God calls something sin, we have no authority to say that it's not. We can't redefine sin, folks. We don't have the authority to do that. God says it is, period. There's no moving from that. God says that willfully disobedient are not to serve, then we have no authority to permit them to serve either. Yet in this day and age, unrepentant sinners are being elevated to those places of elders and pastors. And that's not good. It's not good for the body of Christ. That's why we see so many going astray and why everything's going so wild in the church. As a church here and now, we face this same challenge. Almighty God's calling us to appoint elders and deacons who will serve according to His will. We're faced with that challenge, and we have four good men now who have been added to the ballot for deacon. And we have two men who are on the ballot for elder. We need to do what God wants. We need to choose by God's will. We need to give Him thanks for those who are willing to serve. We need to give Him thanks for bringing people into the fullness of what He sees for this church, not what we see for. Give thanks to God for providing clear guidelines for elders. Thank God for those who are willing to align themselves with His principles. Thank God we have men who are willing to serve by His standards for their conduct and in overseeing His people. Thank God that the elders are to be wise and discerning. Otherwise, what would we have? The people who don't know what to do, where are they going to lead us? The men that we have serving are wise men. They're discerning. They recognize the needs of this congregation and they do the best within their ability. And yet God is calling other men to do the same, to move into those roles. Thank God for those who are willing to live and serve by His principles. Think about the military. What if the military just had no standards? No principles to follow? Nobody had to march in a particular line. Everybody just went and did their own thing. Where would we be? What if there was no standards at all in the world? What if the government didn't have any standards? Everybody could do whatever they wanted. What if the court system had no standards and everybody could do whatever they wanted? Within the system or outside of the system? Where would we be? Well, let's see, I don't like you, so you're going to jail, right? Or I like you, so you're not. We've got to have standards. The whole world is run by standards, and God has standards, and we can thank Him for those standards that He has laid down for those that He positions in those places of elders and deacons. We can thank Him for that, not look down on that. We don't create or set the standards. Almighty God has. We are called to follow those standards. We're instructed to administer His Word as a measuring stick when we are choosing overseers. When we're choosing our elders, when we're choosing our deacons, and whenever we're choosing our pastors. Do these people line up with the Word of God, or are they outside of the will of God? This is what God calls us to. We need to thank God that we are called to hold ourselves to His standards. We're called to live by His Word, by His will. We thank God for His loving instructions to His servants of their accountability to the souls that He entrusts to them. That's one of the things that keeps me in His Word. Because I'll be held accountable. Our elders will be held accountable. Our deacons are going to be held accountable. Are they serving the way that God wants them to serve? And we can thank God that they're going to be held accountable because that's one of the things that helps them to serve in the way in which He wants. Thank God for His loving instructions. If the spiritual leaders serve unjustly or immorally, they will answer to God. Thank God for that knowledge. Thank Him that His qualifications for elders are not bendable. They're not flexible. Well, let's see, it works for over here, but it's not going to work over here. It'll work for you, but it won't work for you. No. God's standards for conduct, God's standards for living, God's standards for guiding, they are fixed. We're to live by them. God's standards are something we can give Him thanks for. Like God Himself, His ways are unchanging. He hasn't changed the rules for today because we're in a different time or a different age. When the people laid out the rules in the Word of God for the elders and the deacons and the pastors, that was for all time. And we're to live our lives by those. We're to guide by those. We, as the spiritual elders of this church, are to be guiding you into the glory of God. That's what we're called to do. That's why we hold services here. That's why we have the lights and the bill that goes with them. That's why we have the heat and the bill that goes with it. We're to do this to God's glory. We're to honor God with everything we do here. We have a duty to our Lord and Savior to uphold His standards for faith and life regarding elders. Thank Him for that. Thank Him that we all collectively are called to assist our elders. Thank Him that He is calling us to strengthen this body. Invite somebody in. Thank God that He says what He means and He means what He says. We can always thank God for listing His qualifications in His Word for those who serve the spiritual needs of the congregation. We can thank Him. In the text that we opened with, we heard Paul instructing Titus to appoint leaders in every town according to his instructions. He didn't say, do it whatever way you want. He didn't say, well, you can do whatever you like, just get somebody to lead. No, he laid out the instructions and he said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to do it according to this. And he gives that similar command to Timothy, so we know it wasn't just for Titus. It wasn't just for that area of the world. It's for the whole body of Christ. These instructions are meant for all time, for all people, that we are going to be leaders within the will of Almighty God. These instructions are real and they're relevant. Even though they're thousands of years old, they apply to today. And they're meant for all time. Give thanks for the spiritual leaders that have a good reputation so that they don't fall into disgrace. And give thanks that they don't fall into the devil's snare. If you read that passage of Timothy and you read the passage of Titus and you read what's written in the book of Acts for our elders and deacons, these are the things that are important, folks. And we need to be keeping these men in prayer, including yours truly. Thank God for requiring elders to avoid any sexual sin. Remember, Jesus said, even if you did it in your heart, you did it. Thank God that His call is for elders to be faithful in marriage and true to their wife. Thank God that this faithfulness gauge reveals the true heart of those who serve. Because that's His will. He doesn't want to have this upset in the body of Christ. He wants to have servants who are going to serve beyond reproach. It's important to the health of the body. Obviously, a man has no control over his children after they leave the house. But God says the children are supposed to be in line. They're supposed to be following what the parents teach. They're to be faithful. They're not to be having reputations for being wild and disobedient. Thank God that elders are not to be bossy or quick-tempered. Thank God that they're not to be heavy drinkers or drug addicts or bullies or dishonest in business. Thank God that they're not to be greedy or lovers of money. Thank God that He forbids elders to be unwelcoming. He wants His elders to be welcoming, have a gift of hospitality, to be friendly to strangers. Thank God that there are elders who enjoy doing good things for God and His people, and thank Him for elders who are wise and sensible and fair and pure and have a good grip on themselves and have self-control. Thank God for that. It's important. all through time, because if it hadn't been set down in stone as it is in the Word of God at that time, we wouldn't have a church here today. It wouldn't have happened because the spiritual leadership would have fallen apart before now and there would be no church. Y'all would be somewhere else, lost in your sin in the world, hell bound. That's what the Word of God shows. Faithfulness to the Word enables them to teach and to preach, given to God's Word, and able to bring you the Word of God in its fullness. And if it cuts you, then thank God that He loves you enough to show you the error of your way so that you can change before you get to eternity. Thank God for that. He loves you. He wants you to live within His will, just as He wants for our elders and our deacons. Thank God that those whose conduct and character are in line with the biblical guidelines are willing to serve, even here. All of us have a duty to our Lord and our Savior to uphold His standards for faith and life. And as I wrap this up, I have to stress again, the main idea is that I want you to give thanks for our elders and our deacons, and yours truly. Give thanks. We're called here to serve you. We are called here to serve God, and collectively we do that. As a servant of God, I'm bringing to you what God says. I bring to you from His Word the best, to the best of my ability, what God says. This is what God wants for you. And as a servant to God, I go to God and I say, God, here are your people. These are your people. And I pray for you. And I cry for you at times. And I weep with you at times. And I ask for God to step into your lives, that you would encounter Him in the fullness that He has for you. And our elders, they're called to that same standard, to be praying men who will serve God and serve the congregation. We're to serve God and the congregation. The role of elder and pastor are sobering responsibilities, not to be taken lightly, never to be taken lightly. Thank God for that. Thank God that biblically unqualified men should never be appointed elder or pastor. Thank Him for that, because where would the church be otherwise? It wouldn't be here now today. If He hadn't laid out those standards, there wouldn't be a church here today. Not here, not down the street, not up the road, anywhere. The church of Jesus Christ would have crumbled and fallen into the ground, and we wouldn't even know about it if there hadn't been standards for elders and deacons and pastors to serve Almighty God and the people. There wouldn't be a church today. And this is true of tomorrow. If we don't hold up the standards that God lays out in His Word, we are just as lost as anybody else out in the world. Because we're not following the one true Savior, Jesus Christ, who came into the world and gave His life and wants for each and every one of us to have that life that He provides eternally. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're not sure if you have everlasting life, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to come up here and I want you to pray right now. And we'll pray with you. We'll call our elders forward. We'll lay our hands on you and we will pray for your eternal soul. That's what God wants for you. And we can thank God for those godly men who serve as elders and those godly men who serve as deacons. Thank God for the spiritual overseers that He provides and help them to serve with joy. That's what the Scripture says. Don't give them grief. Help them to serve with joy and not grief, because it does you no good to give grief to the pastor. It does you no good to give grief to the elders. It does you no good to serve as God's people and be beaten down on the people who are serving God and serving you. That's what His Word says. And as you give thanks this season, I want you to thank God for biblical elders and biblical deacons. That's what I want you to do. You can thank God for all the good things in your lives, but remember to thank Him for all the people who have served for all of time since Christ came on this earth, who brought you this church by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You. We thank You for that final sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we no longer have to offer sacrifices for sin. We thank You for the elders, Lord, and we thank You that we have sobering responsibilities. Thank You, Lord, for leading us not to take these things lightly. Thank you, Father. The consequences are too grave to allow such evil to prevail within the body of Christ. Thank you, Father, that the elders are instructed in Acts 20 to look after themselves and everyone that the Holy Spirit has placed in their care. Thank you, Father, that they are told to be shepherds to God's church because you bought the flock with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you bought and paid for those souls, even those which are here today, Lord, even mine. Thank you, Father, that we belong to you. We thank you, Father, that this flock is entrusted to us. Help us to obey you and help the flock, Lord, not to give the pastor, the elders, the deacons grief. Help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves to your will for this congregation because we are watching over the souls, Lord, that you've entrusted to us here, and we will one day give an account. Thank you, Father, for the spiritual overseers that you've provided here at St. John's. Help us, Lord. Help us to do what we can do to assist them. Lord, I ask that you would call forth people. People who would stand beside our elders and deacons and assist in all the matters related to St. John's Reformed Church. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.